Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
Show,
they got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, you think this shit gon' be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise. Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin tail pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
What if God was one of us? Every night, placing calls up above, and my God won't be fucked. If heaven won't show me a way, guide me when I grip the whip. In the city we live in, name is killed, or you getting kicked. I was taught to keep breaking, misguided in the field. Forgive me, I done grip the stick. She the devil, she was bad. Long weeds, poo-poo eggs, rounding up, make pretty faces. When I'm in a strong new bag, and I got caught in, I ain't red, some poo-poo guys. She ain't here back. I'm in the hell and back. in the jail and bed. What if God was one of them? No matter what, real nigga never book. Thinking I should not judge while I stood in front of judge. Media, they telling lies about me, that don't matter much. I ain't not dirty up. I just got back from the future, don't know what I'm thinking of. I ain't not dirty up. Leave you leaking just for reaching, ain't no drinking out my cup. All the yellow, oh yeah, Slim, she Barbie doll, babe. My partner, so I had to fuck her back. She was with another rapper. Hold up, I can't talk this. Say so when she called me. If I ain't a dick, like, tell me what you call that. Look like one of us.
Nah, my nigga, this is dedication. This is anti-hesitation. This is a real nigga celebration. It's the Don Black Declaration. 59th and 5th Ave, granny house with vanilla waitress. It's the remedy to separation. Tupac of my generation. Blue pill in the fucking matrix. Red rose in the great pavement. Young black nigga trapped and he can't change it. Know he a genius, he just can't claim it. Cause they left him no platform to explain it. He frustrated, so he get faded. Like deep down inside, he know you can't fail him. How long should I stay dedicated? How long till opportunity meet preparation? I need some real nigga reparation. Or I run up in your bank just for recreation. Dedication, hard work, plus patience. Some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. Dedication.
Spent my whole life thinking out the box. Boxing homies 3-on-1, got DP, but I ain't dropped. Turf on me, here I come. Spin around the block, they blurked on me. Said I ran a stop sign, but that's a lie. I spent my whole life staring at the stage. Playing Sega, daddy smoking Sherm, mama playing spades. Catching papers, grandma said I get some Jordan for my grades. That's my baby, when she died, my heart broke 100 ways. Spent my whole life trying to make it, trying to chase it. The cycle of a black man divided, trying to break it. You take a lot of shit, don't cry about it, just embrace it. Minor setbacks for major comebacks, that's my favorite. My nigga L said you do a song with Nip. K-Dot, he a better grip. I said he a man first, you hear the words out his lips. About flourishing from the streets to black businesses. Level 4, y'all living, giving to false imprisonment. Listen close, my nigga, it's bigger than deuces and foes, my nigga. Since elementary, we close, my nigga, you're straight like that. I give you the game, go back to the turf and give it right back. For generations, we've been dealt bad hands with bad plans. Prove your dedication by hopping out Grand Am. I met the premier politicking with Top Nip and Snoop. Damn, clock watching the way we move. Dedication.
If it ain't congratulating, it look like
hate.
If it ain't congratulating, it look like what
Nip
say.
Hold up. Nah, this ain't entertainment. It's four niggas on a slave ship. These soldiers and spirituals I swam against them waves with. Ended up on shore to their amazement. I hope the example I set's not contagious. Lockers behind gates, but can't tame us. Used to be stay safe, now stay dangerous. Cause ain't no point playing defense, nigga. That's why I dove off the deep end, nigga, without a life jacket. Couple meals for the world, all my life cracking. Cook the books, bring it back, so it's no taxes. Royalties, publishing, plus our own masters. I'd be damned if I slave for some white crackers. I was mapping this
established to make it happen, you got to have it.
Dedication, hard work, plus patience. To some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication. Dedication.
The moment that is bound to shape the future.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. They telling me to get it. It said that the message I was bringing brought destruction. I put the pants in the bag and said, fuck them. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me from the jump. They'd rather see me slumped, face down, shot 5 or 6 times with my kid and a mama in the cop car crying. And I'm dying, stop lying. It's a black and white thing. Redneck ass judge would rather watch a nigga hang than indict what's white, not right. Fuck a newsfeed. Black man got the same needs as the Jews need. Who me? I demand reparation. Fuck a cowboy. I'm a native robbed of my nation. I'm an African black man. Fuck out my language. Got me praying to a white boy God. That's insane. And if you ask me why they steadily harass me, I reply with that these motherfuckers nasty. And I'm a god, yet they calling me a nigga. They scared of me, so they try to hide behind the trigger, acting badass. Fuck a honky with the badge. I'm a nigga with an attitude. You can kiss my black ass. Ain't no sense in niggas being diplomatic. Televise the revolution. Let these motherfuckers have it. I'm calling up the homies. They said to come through. And I run with the niggas. They scared to come shoot. Take an eye for an eye. Take a tooth for tooth. Do unto others as them others would do all to you. And all they say is make America great. What America hates. Kept America straight. And America safe. Motherfuck that flag. My people are not free. We wanna touch that flag. So quick to try to copyright what came for free. Now they blaming me. And it's plain to see that they mad at that. Like I'm a magic act. Yeah, imagine that. Motherfucker, I'm black. Fucking vultures. Super quick to steal one's culture. Trying to make it your own. Caveman, go home. Over 10 long nose, funny looking ass Donald. Got his nerve disrespecting President Obama. If you don't want us around, then let us leave. Pay the money you've been owing my people since they were set free. That 40 acres and a mule never came, but yet we're still outstanding. Outstanding in the rain, just waiting, pacing, pacing, and praying for God to step up. But now it ain't shit shaking. I was mistaken, thinking scripture could've helped us. Following the faith of our very own oppressors. No justice, just us. Look at how the aftermath of slavery today still affects us. Our kids educated by the enemy. And they don't know shit about their history. Cause they ain't teaching at school. Leave it up to them coons. And all that's cool. Let the bygones be bygones. And besides, we've been killing off our homes. Shut the fuck up, you know what? Uncle Tom, house nigga, slave, see they motherfucking nut cut. I pack steel in the hour of the chaos. And black lives still don't matter till you stay out.
Black power. Black power, black power, black power. You're listening to the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast. Coming to you live in the belly of the beast here in America, KKK. Send a special shout out to all the people that are listening in the many countries in Africa. As you know, it is late, but you're still tuned in. Shouts out to everyone that's listening in South America, Central America, and the Caribbean Islands, UK, Canada, and all over the globe. And last but certainly not least, shouts out to everyone here in America, KKK, that's supporting the New Black Panther Party and has been supporting the New Black Panther Party over these many years. As a matter of fact, at the end of this month, this will make, we have been on the air since 2013. We first started off on Monday night, every Monday night, and since the COVID epidemic hit, we switched gears and went to a nightly basis, and we have been consistent with that ever since then. So we have a lot of information to bring you. Every Sunday night and every Monday night, this broadcast is being hosted by our national spokesman, Brother Malik Mau Mau. He's been bringing so much powerful commentary, and we're going to go ahead and get ready to pass the mic to him. Tonight's topic is embracing the struggle and becoming the cause. Embracing the struggle and becoming the cause. Pretty deep topic there, Brother Mama. So what I want to do now, as a spokesman, is pass the mic to you and let you take it. We are America is watching as we speak. The replays from the closing arguments in the defense for the Ahmaud Arbery trial. You know, there's a lot of tension and anxiety in the air with just what happened with the Kyle Rittenhouse case. But everybody's embraced and we on alert. So that, without further ado, I'm passing the mic to you, Brother Bamal. Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, Black Power, Black Power. Black Power, Black Power. I embrace us. I embrace and I become the cause. Embracing the struggle and becoming the cause. Embracing the struggle is partially a way of life for many of us. Adapting, being able to survive with what we have. But embracing the struggle that is at hand, the struggle that must be grappled with, the struggle that can no longer be put on the back burner, the idea of armed independence. It's a fact, you cannot build anything without being able to protect it. The white man created the so-called African American, therefore it's up to the white man to protect it. But for those of us who do not consider ourselves to be belittled by the titles of the Europeans, as the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey quotes, and I quote, "As long as you're a black man, you're an African." But accepting the struggle and becoming the cause. I like to use metaphors, and I'm going to use another one. Time I like to use the Sun Papers as I refer to the biblical text, because a lot of our people was initially conditioned religiously and spiritually to perceive primarily through those lenses of through Jesus, Yahshua, Esau, Emmanuel. See, embracing the struggle and becoming the cause is more or less like the sentiment that took place in the scriptures when one of the people came up to Jesus, the random straggler, and asked the question, "If you're the Messiah or the one we've been looking for, tell us straight up." And he referred and said, "I have already told you in so many ways, so many times, that I and the Father are one." And he said, "Oh, you hear what he said?" They picked up rocks, "Let's get them." And he said, "Hold up, wait a minute, stop, stop, just hold up for a second." He said, "Isn't it written in your law?" See, if you accusing me of blasphemy because associating myself with the Creator, if you consider me blasphemy for considering myself to be one with the Creator, let's review what your book says, as it is written in your law, in their law. At that time, they was able to go to the books of Proverbs and review as he quoted to them. "Isn't it written in your law that you, ye, we are God?" He didn't say ye, because that's where the King James and the Old English come in at. Because as a youth, I believe that God spoke like thou. and thee and O ye. Thou is Romeo. No, 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 no. That's Shakespeare. That's not Semitic. That's not Amharic. That's not none of the ancient tongues. That's old English as it was translated and distributed throughout the known world, as so was slavery and colonization. But the point is, he was making a statement and a reference, and he was embodying the idea from that very principle where it was already inscribed, where it was speaking even to you as I speak to you and myself today, where it says, you are God. It says, God is judging amongst the God. And 6 is a short verse, chapter. It says, God is judging amongst the God. Various translations, various transliterations. So therefore, you come up with certain wording. Somewhere it might say, God judges amongst the great. But they're all going to say, I have said, ye are gods. As God judges amongst the gods, he questioned the gods and asked the gods, why do you take partiality with the wicked? Why do you put up with it? You see the injustice, the parallel injustices. Why do you put up with it? Why do you not defend the fatherless? You see, people, we was taught to pray for God to come, but even in the book, it never said nothing was going to happen like that. Jesus never even told you nothing like that was going to happen like that. It was even times in the book where Jesus told his disciples to sell everything you got, even the shoes and the clothes on your back, if you got to, and go get a strap. He told them, go get a sword. Go get you something to work with, because it's about to get cracking. It's about to get cracking. It was a time for everything. So it was never a time to let them beat you. Those translations was breaking down the commandments when you read what he was saying. And he said before anything, he came not to change but to fulfill. And he ain't come to change nothing Moses said. And Moses said eye for eye and tooth for tooth. So therefore, he ain't changed that. He wasn't saying let him hit you and beat you. The translation say other. It give you 2 pages of definition in the Hebrew of the actual word that was used. But the Caucasian European colonizer, the devil, the one that sat on the straight path, the one that they say know the book because he gave you the book. He had already, anything you read, he gave it to you. It's not a part of the original scrolls. It's not even the folktale of the original scrolls. But even what they got, they could not foresee. And the thing that they put in and translated into the English with an open mind, you can still look into it and see past it. Because he told them to go get swords. And Peter said, look, I got 2. Peter already had 2 Glocks at the time. He already had 2 of them on him. Peter is the same one. He said, this is the one in which I build my rock. He said he was going to build his church on the principles of Peter. Peter is the one that kept everything else in line. They say Peter was going to cower out, like deny him. Nah, but he was told that he was going to have to be put in a position where you're going to have to say, you don't know me. Because everything he did was a paradox. Time I sent you to go places with no shoes on your feet and no clothes on your back. That's because I ain't want you to be flashy when you get to where you're going. Because when you get to where you're going, this people are all about money. They look over the bones. I want you to be bummy and stanky and ragged. It's going to be a bum, stanky man walking back and forth with a pitcher of water. He's been there for years. Nobody never pay him no attention. He's going to be the one that leads you to where you need to go. Just go to him and tell him the sky is blue and it's turning black. and he'll take you where you need to go. Now, it's your job to go find the one that they call crazy. And he the one that was going to lead you to that, which was the Last Supper. To embrace it. You see, it's like we understand when we show and prove. It's like Jesus said in the scripture, anything I could do, you can do it even more. He say anything he can do, so therefore we should be able to heal the blind. Make you see. We should be able to raise the dead. The dumb speak. The deaf hear. Oh, trust me, I was dumb and deaf. Trust me, it was a time you couldn't tell me jack. Oh, yeah, it was a time, it was lessons that was told to me from the genuine, sincere, out of heart. Pride was so strong, it took me 5 years to realize what the person was trying to tell me. And the people he was trying to tell me about. But the way he told it to me, I thought it was a good thing. But he was warning me. But to embrace it is to become the God. So that's why I can accept the fact that Jesus is God. I can, if you understand the way where they say the way and the light, it doesn't mean anything. I'm the way and the light. I'm Jesus. I'm God. You are God. And right here, right now, we are the gods that are in reference to how long will we put up with the partiality of the wicked in Psalms 82. When will we defend the fatherless? The needy, the homeless, the weak. We are the defenders of them. They say the whole foundation is unbalanced. But he say, rise. They say, ye are gods. Sons of the Most High. Say, you would die like mere men. But yet understand your spiritual immortality. You are beyond the physical flesh. We're in the world, but not of the world. We need to be of the cause. We need to embrace the struggle. See, I'm going to show you something. It's been times, see, when your back is pulled against the wall, that's when you're at your best. There's been times I personally been fighting sales for months, and it got to the point to where I wouldn't even eat the food that they brought. If they felt like the food was good, I didn't want to eat it. I began to eat food if it wasn't grown from the planet, Earth. I didn't eat it. If it was a piece of corn and certain beans and peas, I wouldn't eat it. But I would eat peanut butter. Other than that, it was green, honey, but it had to be green foods and vegetables. And if it didn't, I was counting the calories. If you brought me something that didn't add up to the same adequate nutrition as the other, I wasn't eating it. I was going to war with them. I was fighting, putting paper on it. I gave up their comfortability. I didn't want to go on the rec yard and shoot balls. I ain't give a damn about the weight yard. I could do pull-ups and push-ups and dips and everything else I need in the cell. They only give me 2 books. They'll give you the Bible, and they'll give you your Quran or any spiritual book that you have. And I was all kind of spiritual things, because I needed every kind of book I can get. I had the Wicca Bible. I had the Bible of Satan. I had every Bible. I had the Book of Mormon. I had them, every one of them I could get, I had them. I read them, I studied them, I looked over them, I read them, I studied them, I looked over them. I went and took Concordias and started breaking down, looking into reading it into the Hebrews, and breaking the word down from Hebrew, from every word, going into it, reading it as I went, and it started making the same sense, but it painted a completely different sense, a scenario, when I read it for myself as I could read it. And then even when I look back at it in the English, it still said the same thing, but you just got to know what you're looking at. See, most of us are only going off of what we've been programmed. See, you knew about the flood of Noah before you could even read. You knew about Jesus dying on the cross for your sins before you could even read. You knew Jesus was God before you could count. Even now that you can count and read, you still believe that and haven't reevaluated the scriptures. You haven't went back and read it. You cannot embrace it. You cannot become it if you do not know it. If you can't perceive it, you can't achieve it. He had perceived it. They say he read from the crib as a baby. In other words, he was spitting it, the book, from a look in. He knew what he was talking about. Because most of the people wasn't reading the book. They were dependent on the priesthood to give them the knowledge. But the priesthood wasn't crooked right at the time they'd been crooked. That's why you didn't hear much about the prophets at that time. That's why you hear about Zechariah, but you don't hear much about what Zechariah had going on. You just know Zechariah was a prophet, and he was the father of John, and he raised Mary. But he was the key to something that they could not incorporate in their scriptures because John and Zechariah ain't write the books. The books were composed by Constantine, Council of Nicaea. Those who was a part of what they would consider the art of the Essenes are the preservers of the truth, are the embodiment of it. That's why all these different, see, that's all he did was kick cataclysms. When he said he fed 5,000 people with two pieces of fishes and a loaf of bread, he said he fed the men first. You got 5,000 hungry, starving people, you feed them babies and the women. If we just going to feed somebody. Now, you ain't nobody going to tell me different. God him, unless we going to war. If we going to war and it's time for battle, then the men eat now. This might be their last meal. Because if you anybody eat first, it's finna go on this front field. You see, you getting out here first. The first one eats, you eat and go. Eat and go. Eat and go. It's only popping. Eat and go. But he said he fed the men. And he always teaches and inspires that why give you a fish when he can teach you to fish. So why give 5,000 people off of one fish and do some type of crazy miracle when you're already telling them the work is going to be hard? How you going to heal somebody or raise somebody from the dead before you was even raised from the dead? And but it say the lamb will be the first resurrected from the dead. But yet you resurrected Lazarus unless Lazarus was not physically dead. Lazarus got away from the roots and started backsliding. He hadn't started going on so far. He had been in there 3 days. That's why he put the 3 days on because of emphasis. He ain't got to be in the grave 3 days to let me know he dead. He said he ain't got to be in the grave now. They let me know he dead. But they put the emphasis to let you know because there's cataclysms in this. He was dead for 3 days. Just like Jesus went to hell, or Jesus was dead for 3 days. But yet when Jesus died, he was hiding. He resurrected. But it said when all the disciples came, they saw none of his clothes had been touched. Looked like his clothes still there, untouched, and folded up neatly. They came, they ain't seen him, and he left. But the whole time he's still there. Just like he told his disciples, so much I want to teach y'all, but y'all not ready. If we following Jesus, only 5% of his teachings is in the Bible. Everything else is he say, they say, and the mediator saying they say, they say. Like they say, Moses went up Mount Ab, and until this day, nobody know where he was, but he was buried there by the Lord. Well, how you know he was buried there by the Lord? And who's saying this? The one behind the curtain? Because this is about Moses, because Moses ain't writing it. And if you tell me Moses went up in Mount Moab, that's only because he gave y'all a Levi through dealing with y'all. Because if Aaron wanted to lay up there and do all these other things for you and bend to your will while he trying to make it easy, he's making it harder. So if you want to go ahead on and appease them in that stupidity, then you be responsible for them. Moses got an Ethiopian wife and Ethiopian children to go to. The only thing they know is he went up over Moab and they never seen his black ass again. That's the only thing they know. Ain't no he went up over Moab and until this day no one knows where he was buried, but he was buried by the Lord according to the scripture. Reevaluate. So even in that sentiment when they was attempting to pick up the roster stone, Jesus, he was representing the principle. He was a walking, living principle, executing on the basis of those principles. He had became the cause. So this is where we are today. Because we are the most spiritual people on this planet. We create spiritualism. You know, we are the direct descendants of the universe. We are the very essence of all things that has manifested. We are the all in all. We are one with everything, and everything is absolutely one with us. We exhale carbon dioxide and inhale the oxygen. It's a push-pull situation. It's an orbit rotation. You know, but it's a harmonious relationship. It's just like the sun and the earth at a certain distance. They create the perfect light where you and I could be manifested in the physical at the perfect temperatures around season. Be ye any farther or closer at any more degree, we could not exist in such a harmony as which we do at this point. But it's a relationship, a push-pull magnetic spiritual relationship between the glowing object considered to be the sun, the center star of our existence at this point. So must we gravitate to the revolution and the cause of our people. Jesus was a revolutionary. He was a freedom fighter. Even Jesus told during this time, for my cause and my name's sake, which is righteous. Because he inherited the title, which was Emmanuel, which they said would be everlasting counselor, the prince of peace, the prince of righteousness. But if Jesus is the prince of peace, and the prince of righteousness, then let's ask this question scripturally, then who is the king of peace and the king of righteousness? And you'll find it in Hebrews 17:7, where you'll find Melchizedek is the king of peace and the king of righteousness. And you'll find that Jesus was a priest in his order. And you'll realize why he had not to bow down to the Levitical priesthood, because that's what he meant when he said he came in order above that. Because he came in order based on everlasting life, because he was part of a cetera. It was something more spiritual beyond what was just designed to keep the Hebrews in order. Not the children of Israel. These laws were designed to perpetuate, to create civilization for Hebrews. Our people, we, the Hebrews, at that time, it was designed for those of our people at that time as government. We had multitudes of ancient governments. But at this time, these are a breed of people that migrated from under Nimrod out of earth, or Babylon at the time, which was granted a mission according to the scriptures and blessed by the king's God. The king of Egypt at the time, God blessed Abraham. Abraham was brought into the covenant, and his children and his seed was brought into the covenant. It wasn't about a covenant just being for him and them or those of our people. It was about bringing those of our people into the covenant with the rest of our people. And for the lack of that proper government is why this group of our people consistently failed short every time. They fell short and sold Joseph because they didn't have resources. They fell short in Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon. They fell short in Nimrod, Babylon. They fell short back and forth over and over. That's why they kept falling back and forth to Nimrod, because the original Nimrodians knew where they came from and the children of Abraham, and the collapse of Nimrod was based on the fact of them coming out. Because it wasn't so much as spiritual, but it was the knowledge of the fact that Abraham was able to leave there. And how can you do that? Nobody does that. Because if you could sneak out, oh, surely it's a way you could sneak in. Talking about a God at the same time that referred to Nimrod and the Tower of Babel in a way that God was intimidated, according to the scripture. It paints a picture where it says about the Tower of Babel, where it say God came and seen that they was building a tower that can reach to the heavens. Now, when you break down, like I say, break down, and use the power to define, and not just go off of some Empire State Building or some building in Tokyo, thinking, or even the pyramids, thinking that it is intimidating enough to have the Almighty trembling to the point to where the Almighty considers this in statement, where it says, if man has begun to do this, and take note of what they say, how they built the tower, because when you talk about a tower, it's two definitions, several definitions. A tower could be a skyscraper, like we said, that's one, or a tower could be anything that elevates to a high level. It could be something that tower over you. It don't have to just be a tall building. When you talk about heaven, it's several definitions of heaven. You can say the Orient skies. When you look up in the daytime, you see the sun. At nighttime, you see the stars, the moon, and other constellations. That is also heaven. But then you got what we consider the dwelling place of God. And they say when they was building it, they say they used brick instead of stone and different things of this nature. They used manufacture, they use tar instead of this. Everything that they used was different than what the best builders would have used to build the best building at that time. But the ingredients that they used all consist of fabricated material. Not carved out stone or nothing like that. It consisted of extra carbonated material. So they building something that can tower over, that can take them to the dwelling place. Oh, God, this is what they're dealing with is intimidation, because ain't no skyscraper going to be intimidating. And he say, if man has begun to do this, this is what it say that God say. It says that God said, if man has begun to do this. So I got to take this to the next level. I can't see that he just built a two-story or three-story or tree house in the redwoods at the top of it. I just can't see that being intimidating to where the point where God say anything. I'm talking about to the point to where it says, he says anything that you put your mind to, you can do. If you can do that, building a two-story ain't going to do it. Building a two-story does not limit you to being able or expand you to being able to do anything just by being able to build a two-story building or put 200 buildings, stories added on to it. It do not expand you to being able to do anything. To the content of God referring to anything. See, because when you say anything, to me, that could be, I'm limited. When you say the middle of nowhere, to me, I'm limited. You know, it's a lot of things that I don't know. But see, now if you want to refer to God, and I'm gonna put it into a God perspective, saying, and I'm going to say, well, God telling me, you know what I'm saying, I mean, ain't no middle of nowhere to God. You see what I'm saying? And that content. So if God is pushing the envelope, saying anything, everything, not anything, not, that's not like kid talk. Anything, everything. I'm going to get everything when I get it. You know, that ain't kid talk. This is God, the absolute superior supreme, omnipotent, omnipresent. Any, everything is possible. It's a come, let us go and confuse their language so that they do not. So this is major. This ain't just because we're a 2-3-story building. You can draw a picture however you choose, but what I'm saying is more to it. But the process of God going and destroying Nimrod is the same process of the God of Kemet. Could simply just be using that underground route that the officer who was Abraham's father helped him escape through. And him giving Abraham a plenty of bounty. Not only just giving him a little bounty, but gave him the hand of Hagar, who is reported to be the daughter of Imhotep. Imhotep, the father of astrology, the father of medicine, the father of science, the one that they put in the movie, the mummy, the resurrector, the alchemy, the universal symbol of intelligence, of ancient chemic science. Gave his daughter. That's like your high priest. I don't know who hand would be best, the king or the high priest in that situation. And you giving me the high priest daughter as a maidservant? What type of elevation did Abraham receive in order to obtain Hagar as a porcupine, a roundabout hand, an extra wife on the side? Because I promise you, there is a reason Sarah was so jealous. Oh, yes, it is a whole bunch of reasons why Sarah could have been jealous of Hagar, I promise you. And Sarah was bad from the understanding. She was bad, but it's a whole bunch of reasons why she could have been jealous of the daughter of Imhotep. So this was our people, a part of our people being embraced into the company of the rest of our people. Just like even once Joseph got surrendered and sold into the hands of the people of Pharaoh at that time, he rose up to be right hand of the Pharaoh. But where we are today, we must learn to embrace our revolutionary foreparents, the struggles and the paths and the trails that have been passed, that have been cut by the mystic sword of Ogun, the path that has been laid by Ogun that pushed our ancestors forward to make room to where we have some of the luxuries that we have today, even though we're still not free and we barely surviving, obtaining all this and still. And it's all temporary. We don't want to hit the battlefield because we don't want to lose our children. We don't want to leave our children. But we can't love our children if we don't engage, create a better environment for the survival of those who will come after us. We must take that same integrity that Muhammad had when he couldn't read or write, but he was motivated by an African named Bilal that was from the homeland of his mother and his father, Sudan. Before Muhammad ever had a revelation, he was motivated by that one African that would not bow down to his grandfather in Mecca, who was a major, major mercenary and merchant. His house consisted of 360 gods. Some of the names still familiar. And everyone had to pay homage. You had to find your liking in his house. He had a guy for you. Oh, you going to find one. You going to pay homage to one of them or you before you leave. During this time, Mecca was consisted of a place to where you would go, and they had the same pilgrimage. They consisted of the same Hajj, but it was different in morals and principles and reason. You'll go there because the dream's been sold. If you did not get robbed along the Cape of Calvary, did not get robbed along the trade route by bandits and took you into slavery and marched you into the city as their cargo, with your cargo, and sold you. If not that, and you did successfully make it to Mecca, once you got to Mecca, you would be stuck in Mecca for 7 days. You would not be able to leave. Once you enter into Mecca, you would be there for the duration of 7 days. Those little movies they show you with the little pop-up kids and different people jump out, snatch their money, run off, and they chase them. Next thing you know, somebody got their horse, they turn back around, and next thing you know, everything gone. Or they done knocked somebody's coffee over in the process of doing it, and they ain't got no money to pay them for it. And they in debt. And they will be a slave. And they will not leave Mecca. It was Bilal was a slave, offered as a slave to one of Muhammad's grandfathers. He would beat him. He would beat him. And in order to become a Muslim, you have to do a certain thing they consider take the Shahada. You have to declare that you accept Muhammad as a prophet. You know what I'm saying? And you also don't believe that there's no God but God, or there's no God but Allah. And this saying was first uttered from the lips of Bilal, this black African from Sudan. Because while they were trying to coerce him to believe in any of those others that they was trying to offer to him, he was telling them it ain't nothing but the one. He was telling them the Shahada, I should do it a little. It ain't no God but Allah. He was telling them that then, ain't no God but God. Ain't no God but God. He was beating the skin off, right? They were beating Kunta and Roots, and he would not bow down. And that was the very essence of Muhammad's inspiration. Because he saw how Bilal was even willing to embrace death for the cause. See, when it comes to the cause, it's based on morals. It's based on principles. Of course, a lot of us would have probably broke down. I mean, if many of us would have went through what Mama Sada went through, you would have broke down. I mean, I read a biography, and I honestly shed a tear because I had to question myself. If I could have endured what she endured, the way she endured it. And if you know, then you can understand. Then if you haven't questioned yourself, then be real with yourself and question yourself. But I've been tried and never denied and ready to be tried again, how they say. Yeah. So soul. So I also elevate those ideals of our ancestors. And we call on those spirits. You see what I'm saying? And these are in some, or we have living still in our midst. They spirit and they energy and they chi still is high in the physical form amongst us. We have others who have ascended. But we still have many who have helped broken into the vaults of information that helped liberate our minds. Before our bodies could be free, our minds first had to be liberated. And I salute the comrades for the work and the elders for the work and the ancestors for the work that they have done to help liberate the information, to help liberate my mind and so many of our minds. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share information with you, that which I know to be true, because we're living in a time where we don't have a lot of time left. I'm surprised that we have any time at all. Because it's like we're stuck in between those walls and they're closing in right now. So, and this is the struggle that we must embrace. See, we don't have to tell each other what to do. When you start to feel the pressure of the wall touching your body, you start to resist. Come on now. We ain't got to be in the situation to empathize with it. You ain't never had to be in a situation to feel the walls closing in on you, to feel like the walls closing in on you, to have an idea what it feels like for the walls to be closing in on you. See, we ain't got to beat up on this cracker right now. See, we got the liberation of the mind, of the spine. See, free your mind and the rest gonna follow. But sometimes with a free mind, your body has to be shooken. But sometimes we got to do some work. Many good brothers and sisters have put their life on the line for the right cause. Man, you can see this wicked system of America is so dirty, so diabolical and low down, man. I'm telling you, man, look at people like, I think his name is this white boy, Eric Snow. Then he to reveal with WikiLeaks and all these other things. And look at these, Eric Cassar. These guys who released, these are the same, they brothers, right? They exposed thousands of documents in attempt to prevent the onslaught that we're heading to. People like those have released hundreds and hundreds of thousands of documents. You know what happened to them? And it wasn't wrong. It was right. It was the right thing to do. Honorable thing to do. It's what a person coming up reading comic books probably would have done. You grew up watching Marvel, your fan of Superman, the good guy. It's something you probably would have done. Even if you're working for a corrupt government that claims to be the G.I. Joe, but really Cobra. But you try to do the G.I. Joe thing and don't know Cobra don't play that shit. This snake don't play that. And they don't care which American citizen don't like it. As a veteran, a person that put their self life on the line to protect other citizens, they vowed to that. They kept their oath. But they give them another oath that violates the first oath. And they hold them to death on the second oath. It's just like they say, they give their power to one beast. But the first beast surrendered his power to the second beast. See, that's the second beast, that real devil. That devil you see sitting in that courthouse letting these white folks get out. You know, they'll take one or two blows here or there. They'll let one or two go. They'll sacrifice one or two here or there. But they get in where they fit in. And they control the narrative. There's not a damn thing we can do about it. But resist. The government not going to do anything about it. They didn't make much fuss about it. After stuff, they swept it under the rug for years. Obama and his black attorney general. And they squad, they had the opportunity to do things. But what did he do? He turned around and created a law that protected the police, a blue law. So what, if you get into a confrontation with the police or if you strike a police, they can make it a felony. He even created a law to protect the police. When they the only ones running out here shooting shit up, and they got protection. Because anytime there's somebody shooting back at their head, they don't do that. When it's a real shooter, they don't do that. They got to wait for a special unit to come in to take care of that shit. They haul ass. If it's a shooting inside one of them schools, they run their ass up out of there too. And call them back up, and that's why he tell everybody, stay where you at. And he stay where the hell they be at. They don't be trying to engage in that shit. They used to just going to the target and shooting shit up, silhouette, you know what I'm saying, and imagine it's one of us. And they use that role, and they play that role, that authority, freeze, and then to expect you doing it. And that fear been in you for so many years due to the fact that those are the consequences of not being moved from so much of brutality. When they tell you to freeze, the ass freeze up from generations of years and years of just doing it, throwing your hands up. See, but we have to embrace our struggles and become the cause. I hope I'm making sense. It was a man that came up to Jesus and asked Jesus, he said, why is it you always speaking parables? And see, this is what we need to understand. And he said, to you, the kingdom of heaven has been given, but to them, same ones who was always trying to criticize, like we spoke of the other night, last night, it's so many different forms of people looking to justify their justice now. So we're looking to justify our own justice now. So we're looking to protect ourselves. You got all these other people coming up, but they don't pay enough homage to the people who have been telling them this for years, who have been sacrificing and continue to sacrifice and pushing the Vanguard movement for years. Our brothers and sisters from the BLA who sacrificed their life, many of our elders in the Black Panther Party, the new Black Panther Party, and many other vigilantes. Many, many revolutionary vigilantes who have reached a breaking point, take it no more, didn't know how to organize, or how to maneuver, and was reckless and may have executed on some reckless behavior. Because of the frustration of being moved, but not embracing the struggle. And becoming the cause. Because good soldiers do not need to be lost in the whirlwind. We got enough strength in the whirlwind. Too much whirlwind. We're gonna be blowing left and right in a minute. We got enough storm. becoming the cause is embodying the revolution, embodying the struggle, embodying the concepts and the ideology that support African people all over the planet. A pan-Africanist ideal, a pan-Africanist planet, a pan-Africanist planet, a pan-African Africa. But in the hills of North America, we must confiscate land. We must confiscate misappropriated land. We must incorporate land. Continue to keep moving in a direction to self-governance. We can't allow ourselves to be governed by criminals and crooks, you know. A criminal is not a person that steals to feed himself or his family. It's not a thief. A murderer is not a person that kills someone.
Oh, Black Power, Black Power, we got some radio silence. Black Power, let's see, we got... They said we got our national minister of culture on. Let's give you some black up here, brother. My mouth. It's a nice topic, and what's going on in the current events is you know at the top of everyone's minds right now. I'm sitting here watching the news while the show was on, and you know the irony of everything that's taking place from the Rittenhouse case, the hearings that are going on regarding the White House. Being stormed and the Ahmaud Arbery. I mean, it's as intense as it can get in the media right now regarding to the so-called justice system. So, Minister Culture, I know you got baby girl that waited to say something. We missed her yesterday. You want to let her give us a shout out? We didn't hear you.
Black Power!
Black Power!
One more time, please. Oh my goodness. Oh, that's Brother Greg's daughter. She always wanna. That she's our sound. What do you call it? We're gonna have to give her some kind of official title. But right on, Brother Greg. Right on. I know Brother Mama been dropping it. You have a comment you want to add to the discussion, brother?
No, just, you know, not really a comment, you know, but, just, you just mentioned, you know, there's a lot going on, you know, with the, I won't even say exposing the justice system because, you know, it's a system that's doing what it's designed to do, but the fight goes on. I mean, the world see how this system here works, and it's no surprise in a lot of ways. You know, I mean, it is this boy gets off, you know, cleared of all charges, you know, like no big deal, you know.
Right, right. And,
you know, I mean, you know, it's just pathetic, and it's sad and heartbreaking, you know, for all of the families, you know, all of, you know, our people who've been gunned down, their families, you know, I can't even imagine what they're going through in a lot of ways. You know, it's heartbreaking. I could only imagine to hear something or to have something tragic like that happen to a loved one, you know, your son, your daughter, and then sit around and watch this system just do nothing about it and just turn a blind eye as if it's, you know, no big deal. I mean, my heart and my condolences always goes out, you know, every single time, you know, we lose someone, you know, through this crap. And, you know, I just hope that it shakes and causes such a rippling effect across this country that the world has no choice but to step in and say something and really have something serious to say about it. It's just a tragedy. You know, I'm lost for words in a lot of ways. You know, not so much because the system does what it's going to do, but you know, lost for words because it's hard to wrap your head around how it must feel.
It's tiring. Yeah.
You know, it's hard. It's heart wrenching. You know.
Well, you know, I think that, you know, just to keep it 100, you know, the truth needs to be exposed. You know, it's like when Obama came into office, you know, all the evil stuff that Bush had did or before him, who was before Bush? You know, all of the things that Clinton and Bush and, you know, and our people. Yeah, folks tend to go to sleep, you know. But since Biden has been in office, some of the most horrific things have taken place. I mean, you know, as we speak, the United States is engaged in warfare in multiple countries in Africa, and particularly, you know, what's going on in not only in Ethiopia, but as of I got reports, you know, now they've sent troops have come into Kenya. You know, so while we're sitting here, you know, dealing with what's going on with the white supremacy on display, you know, they're real arrogant right now. You know, they're smiling and, you know, they got their chest out, you know, but I'm here to tell you, there's an old saying, you know what I'm saying, down here in the South. It says, laugh now, cry later. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to add something to it. Laugh now, cry later, cracker. You know what I'm saying? Because while y'all sitting here, you know, with your chest poked out, you know, they got Roger Stone and Alex Jones, you know, they're smiling away. You know, Roger Stone was accused of all kind of crimes. You know, they had federal folks come in at night and snatch him up out of there. But what did his homeboy do? You know, his partner, his PNC, partner in crime, Trump dude, on his way out, he pardoned his partner in crime. You know, the system of white supremacy, or so-called white supremacy, they stay on code. These motherfuckers stay on code. They will stick to, no matter how they fight amongst each other behind closed doors, but when it comes to the system of so-called white supremacy, they stay on code. You know, they're going
to
make sure.
Was singing that song in Rittenhouse. In the court, he was humming that little song to him.
Exactly. It was good. Singing him a redneck lullaby or We Got You. You know, they was harmonizing their wickedness. You know, no different than the pigs taking Dylan Roof to Burger King. You know, yeah, no different than the damn coon ass judge getting off the stand and coming to hug Amber, the devil that killed Bartham down in Dallas. These motherfuckers stay on code. You know, and here we are. This is something that we must, you know, deal with. You know, we got so busy, too many people trying to cutthroat one another. But you know, we don't get past all that because those of us who stay on code, we'll remain on code, you know. And we have to, you know, just be clear. See, it takes them being blatantly racist for folks to be like, oh, my, it's really something wrong here. Now, there were members of the new Black Panther Party under a different formation. You know, we're going to keep it 100 that showed up today in court. And oh, how the story turned. Now, up until today, the criticism has been they never brought up race. You know, they're saying through all these days of trial, the prosecution nor the defense brought up race in the Ahmaud Arbery case when this was clearly a racial situation. And I mean, it was racial profiling. He was basically lynched by the gun by these three rednecks. You know what I'm saying? The Michaels, right? Two rednecks and the whoever
this other Brian person was. Now, look how calm
they took a black man running through their hood.
Yeah, yeah, he running through the hood. And the prosecution, this racist redneck devil, she's going to say he was running through with no socks on his long, dirty toenails. What the fuck does that have to do with anything? So what you were doing is you're trying to characterize a runaway slave. Why? What does his toenails have to do with anything? You know, but to call him dirty, you know what I'm saying? To say long, dirty toenails. If this is, and then for the defense, you know, like they're so arrogant, and so the defense attorneys went and approached the judge, because members of the Black Panthers and these militants were outside exercising the law and your rights in America, in Georgia, you can bear arms, but they had the nerve to approach the judge to declare a mistrial because you got black people out there, you know, with guns, which is their right, in support of Ahmaud Arbery and the family of Ahmaud Arbery. You know, racism is thick. The tension is thick. You know,
yeah, what
and,
about the
and
donate money to them, help them.
Yeah, you know, now it's interesting. We just talked about this last night. You know, you only had the civil rights camps out there, you know, and they were, you know, bullying them around like, okay, we got them out. We got the, you know, asking the judge to kick the pastors out. Judge didn't go for it. Now they say, oh, we need a mistrial. Black militants are out there. The nerve of them. Go ahead, brothers. Hold on 1 second.
That's right. And that's every time. Anytime it comes down to us mobilizing, and if we look like we want some serious, serious retribution, some serious answers, then they up the ante through the roof. They get ready to start shutting in the National Guards. They get ready to start changing gun laws, like the gun laws 1968 after the famous shutdown capital of the Black Panthers in California. They wouldn't change the whole law. The NRA never spoke up about that on behalf of black people. That law was designed and discriminatory, and it was designed specifically against black people. This is when they first started creating the sentinel to keep convicted felons from having protection or firearms, due to the fact that they had been already criminalized over 70% of the black population. So that'll be an easy slot. So we know most of these laws are designed for them in favor, and everything in their possible. They gonna create every loophole possible. I mean, just like with the Rittenhouse case, anything that could have got him found guilty, they distinctively threw it out. And if you get a jury, that's why they deliberate so many days, because if you got one person in there that say, man, I think he's guilty, so the evidence that we put before you, which are the two things you using to find him guilty on? And you can't use now one of the two. You got to use all the other shit, but you can't use none of that. So when you got to explain why you find him guilty on this or why you think he's guilty on it, hell, at the end of the day, you can't do nothing but find him innocent. If you got to look at the one, two things that's in front of you after they've kicked out everything that could possibly incriminate him, threw out everything, but they took away everything but the gun out of his hand. He kept hold the whole time. Who watched? And some of the video they didn't even want to use. And the best video was the drone video where you could show him instigating and drawing his weapons. The judge didn't even want to use that. He threw that out. So it really ain't much you could use. And then in the process, when the jurors wanted to see the video, the judge said his worst feeling came. What the hell is going to make that your worst feel? The fact that they get to see an overhead view of what the hell he was really doing? A longer duration of time of the incidents that was taking place? You get to see a more step-by-step a rundown of what was taking place? And how he was acting and what he was doing and who was the actual agitator? You throw that out. So, of course, he'll be found not guilty, you know, Biggie. And at the same time, they had to look at it before they decided what they was going to choose to let the jurors look at. Rittenhouse and the judge looking at the video together. They got a video with them. They sitting there. Which defendant, first of all, pick out after you exclude, use every dirty trick in the book to exclude any and every person that may think he may have been guilty. They'll ask you something like, what you think about the George Floyd case? Do you think, I ain't got nothing to do with it? But they just don't do something just to straight out, you know what I'm saying? Get you kicked off the case. To make you...
No, he was coached on that. He didn't come up with that on his own.
Yeah.
But they put him up there like he picked his own jury to be like, oh, look at this Superman to white supremacy. Yeah. This Superboy to white supremacy. He picked his own jury.
You let me pick up 10 of my 10 comrades. You let me go through a you let me go through a call log and pick out 10 of the best comrades I can. I want, you know what I'm saying? Give me 100 black people and let me pick out the 10 I want. Give me 15 of the best or the best 100 in the whole area, and I don't care which 12 come out of it. Because I got 12 people that have law enforcement or they related to law enforcement, or most of these people was already indifferent to the reason why most of the people got there and also riding anyway, because they was upset about the fact that the law officer, you know what I'm saying, shot the brother in the back 8 times. He shot the brother
and who drafted the jury pool? You know what I'm saying? Where the zip code did they come from? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Did they come from a zip code that was most likely going to be for Rittenhouse? And then let's flip the script with Ahmaud Arbery. It's the same thing. It's coming out to 11 white jurors and one black
person. These people here that was on the same hill, they got hunting camp somewhere together. They got certain properties they probably hunt on together, their families and different members. They got certain country clubs they're a part of, or brothers, uncles, cousins, a part of certain local militias. You know what I'm saying? Because these are gun advocates. You know what I'm saying? These ain't just for anybody. You know what I'm saying? They network, just like we might network in our areas. They network. You know what I'm saying? This is the so-called wannabe law enforcement.
The fix is in. It's like it's the ringer. It was like all the pool that you pulling from, we picked who you pulling from, which goes to our point over and over again of why we must have our own nation, of why we must be independent. If you think you stand any chance of getting any semblance of justice in a country that was the government of a government in the country that was stolen from our ancestors, that we are the Capitone indigenous original people of this planet. You know what I'm saying? Of this land. Not only that, and then you got wealthy, you know, off of enslaving our ancestors that were kidnapped. So it's Holocaust upon, you know, genocide upon genocide. And then, you know, the wealth of this nation, you know, was amassed off of Five damn centuries. Five centuries. How many generations is that? 5 centuries is damn near 10 generations. You know, and then they've had the fixes in. They've set their court system to be monitored by Cud and Bubba. You know what I'm saying? The police is Uncle Bob. The goddamn prosecutor is Mary Lou. You know what I'm saying? The coroner is Bubba and them. You know what I'm saying? The whole system is rigged.
And if any of them got business, they're in the Chamber of Commerce together. If anyone
Chamber of Commerce.
Got somebody, if they got an uncle, they got a business, they connected.
Yeah.
There's in the Chamber of Commerce, they connected. You know
who's picking the jury? Who's picking the jury pool? You know what I'm saying? Who's picking the jury pool? Who is the county clerk? Where the jury pool going to come from? It's all rigged. And then on the flip side, see Rittenhouse had a jury of his peers.
Now, that was fair. And that's the problem here. It's never fair for us. We got upset.
Yeah, then these white boys, these white boys of the Mortar Harbor got a jury of their peers.
We never get that treatment.
What's going to happen when Ozone go to court? Will he get a jury of his peers?
We demand he get a jury of his peers from his background, from his liking.
Come on.
People that can judge his character. Not people that from a background that know nothing of his background or indifference with people that may come from his background that may not be his peers, but might be an adversary. Could be some bigot racist.
But they got this Rittenhouse going on interview after interview. Like the Great White Hope.
Get ready for the movie. He will be running for office. Give him 10 years.
Laugh now, cry later. Local.
Give him later. They're going to through the roof.
Mama, I know I'm jumping in on you, but I'm so, okay, check this out, though. So, Rittenhouse, this is Wisconsin, right? So today,
right.
A black man with dreadlocks in Wisconsin.
Ran him over.
Is accused
ran him down.
Of running over a bunch of crackers during that Christmas parade.
There you go. Hallelujah.
Laugh now, cry later.
Ran him down.
Laugh now, cry later, crackers. Y'all are stirring up something that y'all don't really want. You are stirring up what you really don't want, but you're going to get because it's due. Laugh now, cry later, crackers. That need to be the T-shirt. You know, somebody go run with it.
That's what we're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what I was talking about certain types of vigilantes, you know what I'm saying, that create dangers, potential dangers, you know what I'm saying, from so much frustration of being moved, you know what I'm saying, from the situations that we're dealing with. We suppress, depress, repress, we oppress. There's no one going through more than the black man, woman, and children in the hills of North America. Psychologically, there's people in the country that don't have water, but they're not going through the hells that the so-called Negro in Africa, in African America, in the hells of America is going through psychologically. Countries with no food in the middle of war, but are not going through the psychological hell that the so-called Negro in North America is going through and been through. We've lost our culture.
This fucking devil Rittenhouse says that he supports Black Lives Matter.
He gonna say shit like that because now that's the agitation. See, that's that hard boy shit that we're with. You know what I'm saying? And he gonna say, like, I'm with y'all. We out there to protect y'all. He gonna start talking about how he was out there to protect everybody's right. That's the shit they gonna say. That's what they gonna talk about. They gonna talk about how he was out there to protect everybody's right. You know what I'm saying? And he gonna start playing that teddy bear role again on TV one time when he interview him, when he gets to talking about the people he gonna be regretful for hurting them, taking their lives, but he was afraid. And as he get older, he was gonna be like, when he was young, you know, even though he was in his right, but if he was in the state of mind he in now, he could have dealt with it more professional than he did then. But, hey, back then I was 17. You know, I made a mistake. You get past it. This is his pitch for office locally. By the time he get up throughout the year, 20 years from now, many people don't ring a bell because we don't stick to it and we don't stay on key. You see what I'm saying? We forget about this here. And it's just like they run this scam, this proxy scam that they call the government in the United States of America, where they keep swiping out these presidents, calling it a democracy. But what they're doing is they get one person to put down some bullshit and get out of the way, and then you raise hell while they're in there. But when they're gone, you forget about every piece to the puzzle that they laid down. And then the next ass come in, and he started doing his little doubling down. But he adding to the same pieces of the puzzle, and you never really see the whole puzzle until it's over. Because if it was one person in there, you'll say, oh, hell, that's Hitler. That's a neo-Nazi. You're doing too much. 10 years ago, you did this, you did that. You done this, then you came back, and you did this, and you did that, then you did that. But see, we don't look at it like that. See, we let Bush be gone. We let Obama be gone. We let Clinton be gone. They gone, they be gone, and they gone. But the foundations that they laid is still stuck in sand that we still being terminated by. The pieces of the puzzle that they're still laying down has already been enrooted in cement. Plans that they've already put in motion then been laid down in cement. And they get to swapping them out. You get a new president, you get a new president, and that's to keep you under the illusion. But they're all serving the same purpose. Because you'll get a black representative to come out and condemn certain acts that may be considered against humanity. They might want to call it one of the proper terms, terroristic act. They'll come out and condemn something that they might consider to be of a terroristic in nature. Unless white folks doing it. White folks can do any damn thing in the world, and them Bushy Boule Negroes is not going to open their mouth and condemn them. Those black congressmen, the black caucus, they are not going to condemn now one of them crackers for being soggy and wet. They will not condemn them. But they will group up spontaneously, and you can see the works of the devil, because they'll group up spontaneously, and next thing you know, they'll have like certain places where they got black males. They have this black man in this town, this black man in that town, and that town, and next thing you know, it'll be a roundup or something where they do a little sweep up, and they'll get some low down dirty information on all of them. And next thing you know, you'll be like, man, all of them in trouble. they broke up over here. He did this, he done that. They got him on this and that. They be on key. See, we get comfortable and don't want to embrace the struggle. We comfortable in from the work that already been laid down in front of us, but we don't want the roof that been built, so we can't get rained on. But what I'm saying is we still ain't got no walls to protect us from the wind.
We got work to do. And you got these cats that's been set on their fucking ass. Wait till you go and dig the goddamn trench, pour the concrete, put the slab in, put the piping in. You know what I'm saying? Put the walls in, put the roof on, you know what I'm saying? Now you finna come with the easy shit, you know what I'm saying? Or so they think it's easy with the fixtures, and they wanna come and, you know, try to drop salt, try to go and run and call the code officials to get you shut down so they can try to come in. I mean, that shit ain't gonna work either, you know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, it's the truth hour right now, you know what I'm saying? From the black people to the white folk and everybody in the middle. Where you stand in this day and hour is clear. You know what I'm saying? Are you sitting on the sideline, as they say,
you know, armchair revolutionary, or are you really, you know, trying to engage and do something, you know, meaningful for the people, you know, and time is going to tell all of that, you know what I'm saying? Your actions, your deeds will tell all of that. You know, time is time out for faking a funk. It's time out for riding the fence. It's time out for not doing shit when all of this stuff is happening around you. You know, everyone in this hour, in this day and time, will have to be present and accountable on taking a stand in all of these different cases of injustice. And it's, at this point, it's no excuse, because even if you don't have the guts or the resources, whatever your excuse may be why you're not hitting the field, there's no reason why you can't put the word out on social media. You know what I'm saying? Be part of proper propaganda. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason for anyone to be silent. I think you said it yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Deciding not to do something is doing something. How did you say it?
That's right.
It's something to that effect. How did you phrase it?
That's right.
When you decide not, when you decide not to do something, you've made a decision to side for what's not, for, to not speak up for what's right. Oh, how did you phrase it, brother? Go ahead.
That, I mean, that's it. That's the interpretation of it. But I think the word was, even if, to not do something is doing something. You still doing something. You know what I'm saying? Whether you're doing it consciously or unconsciously, you know what I'm saying? Your actions is still, your efforts is still being, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're right. It's one way that it's explained to me years and years ago is a way of being indecisive, or when a person's decision not to do something is actually a decision. It's kind of like you know that you can make a difference if you say or do something, but because you decide not to say or do something, you still cause something to happen. And
you complying with what's going on. If you
don't
speak out against something, you complying with what's happening.
Your decision not to step up and do something, you know, that can make a change is actually what you just described. It's really, you're doing exactly what everybody else, you know, is doing. You're afraid to step up and say something. You know, you're complying. Exactly. Yeah, you hit it right on the head. You're complying based on the fact that you just didn't make a decision to do something against it.
It's just like you see a child being abused in front of you, and you choose not to say nothing and walk away. You've condoned the abused, or elder,
right.
You know what I'm saying, or someone that can't defend themselves. You know, an elderly person is being taken advantage of, you know they're being taken advantage of, and you don't say or do anything about it. You're an accessory to the person that did it, because you couldn't do something about it.
Yep.
Hey, that's like
it.
I was saying, it was reading in Psalm 82, when they say, how long will you put up with the partialities of the wicked? How long will you sit back and allow the fatherless, you see, the homeless, the weak to go on to be treated unjustly? And they say, this is the judgment of God amongst the gods, asking, how long will you allow the partiality of the wicked to continue? By sitting back, not doing nothing. So not doing nothing, it's doing something. Matter of fact, it's doing too much. It's doing completely too much.
Especially when you are young and able. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, when you have the means to lift up your voice, you know what I'm saying, to put boots on the ground, and you choose not, yeah, you can take the time to go out and participate in frivolousness or just, what's the word, the only thing you want to do is go out and pop and party, you know what I'm saying? You hold no other goal with your energy as to just go enjoy your own self and have no accountability or no put in no work for your people. You know, and that's why we have to and then constantly are telling people, you know, put in, come on board. And whatever lane that you're in, it's something that everyone can do. You know what I'm saying? With so much going on, you know, we're being attacked with the miseducation. You know what I'm saying? So if you're in education, you can be doing something to put knowledge itself into the minds of the children. If you were in health, with so much medical apartheid going on and discrimination class-wise and racially-wise on how people are getting treated in that realm, it's something that you can be doing. If you're involved in the financial world, which does so much, unequal lending and all kind of practices, be one that opens a door and makes a way. It's something that everybody can be doing in whatever lane that they in. And even if you're not working, that means you got time on your hands to be doing something, you know, but to do nothing, no. You know, on our watch, we have so much that we're responsible for doing, you know, imperative, but it is our duty,
right.
You know what I'm saying? We are compelled to do something in this hour, plain and simple. You know what I'm saying? What y'all say on that, comrades? Let me check the switchboard. Press one. Press one to get into discussion, everybody. Press one.
Yeah, most definitely. Our duty. Black power is most definitely. Like I said, if it's only man, woman, and child, the commandment has already been handed down. It's asking me how long you put over the person out of the other wicked. It's only man, woman, and child. Who going to stand up for the black man, the black woman, and the poor black child? Who deserves
a
bright future? Who deserves great education that don't hinder them and run them away from the learning process? Because when you teach me so much about the lies, that even hidden lies are dormant the mind, the subconscious will run away from the dormant. But if you bombard the mind with bullshit, the mind will tend to block it off. You'll read and won't get none of it. But see, when we start introducing these black children to some of these black superheroes in real life and let them know the truth about most of the people that we idolize and start them off so that they never idolize many of these characters on these dollar bills, teaching the truth about the ancestors of this country, the racist pigs, the low-down, dirty, slimy, conniving dogs that they are, the hog swine that they is. Let them know the dirt that they done to the original people. Let them know how they bit every hand that ever fed them. Let them know every house anybody ever invited them in, how they stole everything they ever had and burned the house to a crisp. Let them know they never should have been trusted. Let them know how they destroy every nationality of people on the face of the planet. Let them know ever since they was known to man, they have done nothing but lie, rape, steal, and kill. That has all their culture have been known to do. They have never created anything but mayhem. They are the children of Satan. They are reptiles by nature. They are slimy and slinky. They can't be trusted. Don't take your eyes off them. Don't let them around you. They are no good.
That's
this
right.
is the truth about your black people.
That's right. We got brother. We got our comrade out of Atlanta on the line, brother Abdul. Black power, bro. Abdul Malik, your mic is open.
Oh, I'm assuming this is Abdul Malik. We got a 404 error code out of Atlanta. Your mic is open. What is your question or comment?
Embracing
the show,
becoming the call.
I know this, brother Abdul. 404, your mic is open. 404 error code.
You on mute.
Going one. Come off of mute, brother. Going once. Going twice. Dawn, you got to catch up now. You got to catch up. You can't have radio silence now. Can't have radio silence. Yeah, he might have still. He might have that brother. When he ready to come back in, just hang up and come back in. Because we're not going to be able to keep that line up in case there's feedback. Just press 1 to come out and press 1 to come back in. We got a few other callers on the line. Come on in. I see we got another one of our brothers on out of the Florida. Press number 1, brother. I know I'm not going to call you out. I know you've been on every night, but you've been kind of quiet lately. Maybe you're on the plantation. Yeah, we got one of our comrades out of Florida on the line, but he ain't pressed 1. He listens every night. I'm assuming he's on the plantation, maybe Kingstown. You know what I'm saying? But we got a, Lord, that's a few error codes I ain't never seen. So for you, if you're new to the program and you want to participate in the discussion, be it a comment or a question, you simply press the number 1, and we will bring you into the discussion. We need to know who you are and what city you're coming from, and then we'll bring you on into the discussion. So, yeah, we got about 10 minutes left, 11 minutes to be exactly left into the broadcast. We talked about so much, but again, tonight's topic is embracing the struggle and becoming the cause. And we talked about embracing the struggle. Could you explain, what do you mean by becoming the cause, my mom?
Becoming the cause is more like incorporating the principles. Like I was using analysis of Jesus when he said he and the Father are one, and they got ready to stone him. And the fact of the matter, to this day, we call him God because of that. It's just the fact that he embodied those principles and was walking on them and living them. You know what I'm saying? So he was representing that embodiment. Like when they say they pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's a manifestation. That's saying that as it is in the mind, the dwelling place of God. The dwelling place of God as it is in the mind, so shall it be manifest and brought forward. Okay? So it's like when you become a psychologist, it's because you study psychology. It's because you sort of become so much into psychology and you're awarded certain credits according to certain universities, and they give you certain banners and certificates and consider you a psychologist. You know what I'm saying? Well, when we talk about revolutionists or revolutionaries, so we need to embody the principles of the revolution. We need to embody the principles of the cause. We embrace the struggle and embody the principles of the cause to why we struggle and why we must struggle, and become those principles as to why we must fight. Become the principles as to why we must stand up. The reason that we say enough is enough. Become the reason. Don't just have one. Don't have a cause. Be the cause. Become the cause. Like in Islam, there was called taqwa, which in Arabic is the word taqwa, in Islamic. It's considered to be more or less like God conscious. It's an indelment to where you're saying God conscious. You're saying taqwa, you're saying God conscious, saying taqwa. That's more or less like keeping God on your forefront all day long, 24/7. Eat, sleep, drink. When you wake up, you pray. You go to sleep, you pray. Before you eat, you pray. Before you drink, you pray. Before you step out, you pray. When you step in, you pray. But it's being Taqwa, it's being God-conscious by everything you do. So every move you make is a calculated step. Pray before you move. You meditate on what you're going to do before you do it. And then you move out on what you aspire to. So that's more or less like my take on my suggestion as to what I mean when I say become the cause.
Right.
Because we gotta
like how we say it's a way of life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, you can't join the Panthers. You gotta be a Panther. You can join, but it's different than, you know, to be a Panther, you gotta be a Panther. You can't just join. You gotta be it. Be it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right on.
No,
Black Power. Right on. That's it.
That's somebody. I used to be in the movement. Then what happened? What you mean used to? You stopped being. Yeah. I used to be down with the black stuff. What happened? You stopped being down with it? You know what I'm saying?
Because it ain't stopped. Because they ain't stopped the oppression. They ain't stopped the suppression. They ain't stopped repression.
You still breathing. You still black, ain't you?
That's right. So it ain't no out of it until it's over. So I'm gonna say justice for me is justice for my people. Freedom for me is freedom for my people. To not have that fear of being terrorized by the slave catchers who was out to make a quota and find me to be expendable. Father, when you ride your tail light.
I'm chipping out. I got some messages today where everybody from Fuss was like, was you in New Brunswick? I'm like, no, I wasn't in New Brunswick. But what had happened was they got these people individuals that's look at this freaking coon ass coon Arca Bay. Boy, this man is a stalker. I got a call about him earlier today. Boy, this man is so thirsty.
Too cool.
Yeah, what happened is they got remember we went to after Baton Rouge with after Sterling case, how everybody, you know, how the comrades had the black bandanas and the you know, they were, you know, how we was out there, the next thing you know, other people shot the cop style. Yeah. So now they got they doing the same thing. They got a formation that was out, and there was some assistant in the middle and some brothers surrounding everybody, started calling, thought that was me. Boy, I tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, they trying to cop out style. You know what I'm saying? I started getting these messages.
You know, that's why they was using most of our photos and things of that nature, and now they are trying to create their own catalog, I guess. I don't know what the deal is, but, you know, the work.
They better be careful.
Because if that is what they're trying to do, they're not moving like that, really. So if it come down to it, they'll get a post like that. And we're all ready that's more we got to get into about the shenanigans of turncoat revolutionaries and things of that nature. Because once a turncoat, always a turncoat. And you never trust a turncoat, because them clowns will come up with the biggest shams in the universe, and they will sink your ship. They called it setback after setback. Only the true and tried will stand where need to be stood. And that's what's understood. Only the true and tried will stand where need to be stood. Because most of these dudes and other people that's following up behind other females and brothers of the struggle that ain't really been putting in the hardcore work but just been trying to overshadow activities to be associated, you know what I'm saying, but not ready to do the work, because the real work that requires to be done, you know what I'm saying, they're not really trying to do that, you know what I'm saying, they're just trying to catch up with the candlelight of crumps and these other civil rights bell ringers. You know what I'm saying? But we already know, we give a damn, the crack ain't civil, so we ain't talking about civil rights. We already been convicted of human rights violations, and the crack ain't no human, and so we ain't really worrying about that. You know what I'm saying? And at this point, it's already explained. We need reparations and independence. You know what I'm saying? The territory is already marked out. The lines are already drawn. You know what I'm saying? It's just freedom of death. It's freedom of death.
Yeah, they out there posturing.
Tiptoeing on the
pool. They out there posing and shit.
Following behind revolutionaries, real revolutionaries. You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to move the way we move when it's time to move, and you're going to set the people up.
There's a difference in posing.
You gonna fall back.
It's a difference in posing and taking a position. You know, it's a difference in posing and taking a position. A major difference in posing for the cameras and taking a revolutionary position on something. Major difference. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we have going on here. We got people posing and taking sound bites. But what kind of position you gonna take?
I mean, that's how so many people get distorted and going off into these different things when, you know what I'm saying, and they turn and they back on their savior and they act on their neighbor. You know what I'm saying? But show yourself approved, people. Show yourself approved. Do your research. Who, what, where, when, and why. You know what I'm saying? What we should be at is not what we at, but I'm proud to be where we at because it's what we need to be at, because it's exactly what we're supposed to be at. You know, there is no mistakes in the universe. And everything is a filtering process, and it's a purification process. You know, so I'm thankful for all love and patience is a virtue, for the best weaving material that we have. It has been stitched well. And I'm thankful for it, appreciate it. And I know we're made of a Teflon material. I understand that we're made of a very strong material. And we would also like others that feel as though they can be tried and tested. They feel as though they're purified and that they can also be a blessing to the many people. The people that would like to want to stand up and be a voice for the people. The people that would like to stand up and fight for the people, a just cause for the people, you know. Not no lollydag, but for the cause, because we got to get what's ours. You know, like their prayers say, we're struggling for the power. We need the power. We need political power. We need social power. We need economical power. We need geological power. And we need the power of the people. We need black power.
All day long. All day long we need black power. Well, brothers and sisters, we're coming up on the...
Black power.
Right on, please. Right on. I mean, she was coming. She took the words out of my mouth. We're coming up on the end of tonight's broadcast. We've had some very powerful words and some very much-needed discussion on the current events that are taking place. We're telling our people across America, you know, don't get distracted. You know what I'm saying? Everybody that's in Georgia, in that vicinity of Georgia, stand strong, stand up. You know, the situation is going to get much more intensified, brothers and sisters. You know, this is a protracted battle that we're dealing with regarding the racism and the blatant climate of hostility that's going on in this country. They just also just showed a clip of the 2017 demonstration when, you know, the rednecks drove the car through the demonstrators. There's a civil proceeding going on with that. When they had the little Tiki Torch thing going on, it's no coincidence right. that they're highlighting all of this stuff at the same time. You know what I'm saying? The makings of anarchy are all over the place. You know what I'm saying? And it appears that while our enemy thinks, you know, they've gotten away with something with the little promoting Rittenhouse, like he's this poor white boy who defended himself, who, you know, pulled his jury. You know, they're being very arrogant about this. You know, they think our people are dumb and stupid, you know, for the long haul. Now, don't get it wrong. I mean, for the most part, you know, our people got plenty of sense. Now, don't get it wrong. We got some dumb asses out here, you know, that fall for the bull crap. But the majority of our people not having it. The majority got plenty of sense. So, you know, do not get low in spirit, brothers and sisters. Do not feel discouraged. You know what I'm saying? I would tell you, you should, in all actuality, be feeling more emboldened to do something about what's taking place. There's no time to retract, turn your heels, and say, see, we don't stand a chance. They ain't gonna never do right. That's the wrong mentality. You know what I'm saying? If anything, you should feel more clear as to what is going on and be willing to do something about it. If anything, you should feel, as the brother said, more motivated to expose and teach your children about the truth of these wicked beasts that we're dealing with. So for those of you who are right mind and spirit and believe in the energy of our ancestors, who have the mind, spirit, and ready to put your body, your mouth, your money where your mouth is, and get involved with this movement from the vanguard perspective, not no half-hearted, I think I can. No, we need the brothers and sisters that know they can to step up to the plate and contact the New Black Panther Party at nbpp.org, you know, and also make sure that you click the donate button at nbpp.org, which will take you to our Black Cross website where it'll give you the instructions on how to financially support the work of the New Black Panther Party. We want to thank our national spokesman, Brother Malik Mau Mau, who every Sunday and Monday night is dropping jewels. We want to thank our national minister of culture, Brother Greg, who co-hosts this show with me every night, and the young princess who keeps that energy going of Black Power, which is a constant reminder to us of what we're doing this for. On this watch, on our watch, it is our responsibility to pave the way so the road won't be so rough, and to, in actuality, to fight to our damnedest to achieve complete and total liberation for our people. So, Brother Mama, you got any closing words? Mama. Brother Greg.
Black power, black nation, salute, one love, black power, that's it.
All right, family, we'll catch y'all tomorrow night, same black time, same black channel. Tomorrow night we will have the Kibalon news, world news report with Brother Tutmosis Sankara, and he will have a special guest, Joaquin Balogun. Black Power signing off.